Healthcare and senior care is fraught with problems and challenges, but we're also seeing some amazing new clinical treatments and resources. This show will help illuminate and uncover the good, bad, and the ugly in order to equip patients, families, and other healthcare providers. Welcome to Senior Care Confidential.
Good afternoon, Brian. We have an amazing guest today.
Yes.
I'm so excited to talk about Dispatch Help and what Allison does. We're so excited. But I do want to start our program today. We always like to talk about what's going on in senior news. Mm-hmm. I saw this the other day. It just floored me. There is a patient in a nursing home in Arizona. News just came out. But she was raped by in a nursing home in Arizona, raped by a medication aide. Mm-hmm. And she went to her administrator at the nursing home, the director of operations. And what the director of operations said was, you need to follow the chain of command when reporting something like this. Come to find out, another aide actually saw him raping this woman. The patient complained that he had raped her between 15 to 20 times.
My goodness.
She had a brain injury. She had some kind of a brain injury. But the worst thing was this was not reported to the state for weeks, and the patient wound up becoming pregnant. Mm. So what in the world is happening in our nursing homes that something of that magnitude would happen and not be reported? I listened to the story. I looked at the story. I read about it. I looked up the owners, and it's just crazy how little news time this story received. So I want to show a very quick clip on this, and just we'll talk about it for a minute after. But yep. If you can run the clip, Jordan.
A former nursing assistant under criminal investigation tonight, accused of raping a patient and impregnating her at a long-term care facility.
Fox 10 has uncovered new details tonight on how this took several weeks for a state agency to find out about this alleged sexual abuse.
Fox 10 investigator Justin Lum's been working on this story. He joins us live. And this is really disturbing.
And John, Christina, we want to warn you, many of the details we've uncovered are sexually graphic. Goodyear Police is investigating the man accused of sexually abusing and impregnating a patient. But records we found through Arizona's Department of Health Services reveal the alleged victim tried to tell the facility's director of operations that she was raped, but was ignored and told to, quote, follow chain of command.
So let's talk about that just a minute. Is that not horrific? So what's the solution here? What would you all, I mean, we all as healthcare professionals would assume that the minute that was reported, the police would have been called, Adult Protective Services, the employee would have been not only fired, but arrested. It took them 2 months to terminate him.
It's incredible.
So what do you, as healthcare professionals, how can we protect that innocent person?
I don't know. It sounds almost like there needs to be some sort of an advocacy at that clinic level or at the SNF level. You know, I don't know if there were physicians or therapists there that picked up on some things. I mean, surely with having her being raped that many times, there had to be some, you know, emotional changes, personality changes that you're picking up on. I can't imagine.
No, that, I can't at all.
You know, that wasn't seen before. And their response was, you know, this goes back to we interviewed the guy who's part of that organization for this after the Billy Shamir case. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know if you remember this case. No, it's the guy who ended up murdering, I think they attributed like something
21
like
21 people.
21, oh. But they think it's as many as 70 more, or something like that. And so if you look at the numbers on him, he's like the most numerous murders associated to him as like the major serial killers in the country, yet his news story lasted about a minute on national news. Like nobody's even heard of this thing. So I think this goes back to like this whole ageism thing all over again. It's like, well, you know, you've kind of outlived your useful life. And so we don't really care. It doesn't move the needle in terms of eyeballs on television screens. So we just won't talk about it.
It's cost. Tax dollars, you know, yeah. It costs to take care of our seniors.
Do you think you also have to take in these kind of things seriously. And I think that that was the big miss. I mean, any type of complaint or allegation like that can't just be overlooked. I mean, if anyone that I was taking care of had even the slightest inkling to say, I suspect sexual assault, I have a duty as a provider. I have a duty as a human to report that. And I think that there's a big, that's a big gap for me.
And I think they may have missed it too, because I think the patient does have some history of like a head trauma or a brain injury. And so, you know, I think there probably should be some investigation, but there's like a line. I'm not a legal guy, I'm not a cop, but I think there's probably a line of, okay, we need to investigate this. And maybe we put the guy on suspension, like paid leave suspension, while we figure out, you know, keep the patient safe, you know, while we kind of figure out what's going on. But it doesn't sound like any of that happened from the news that we can find.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we just wish we could solve those types of problems. You know, that's why we do Senior Care Confidential. It's just at least we're talking about it and getting that conversation going. So today we have Allison McMillan here from Dispatch Health, and we are talking about Dispatch Health is getting your ER visit at home, basically.
Absolutely.
And you know, what I see when I was a brand new nurse back in the 90s, I remember the Parkland ER would be packed. That's our charity hospital here in Dallas. The halls would be packed, lined with stretchers. And I just remember, you never want to send your loved ones to Parkland because they just have to wait. Well, now fast forward to 2024, every ER it's every ER.
It's not
just Parkland. It's everywhere. Yeah. And there's not a good time to go. It's round the clock. And they're short staffed. There's so many seniors that have things that could be treated in the home. And that's why we want to talk about, Dispatch Health today. So welcome.
Thank you. We're so glad you're here. It's so great to be here. And this is a solution, a potential solution for a lot of these cases. And so it's exciting to talk about. It's exciting what we're doing. And we're not doing it just here in Dallas. So I think that that's a big part of it. I also was a nurse for 12 years before going back to school to become a nurse practitioner. And I've worked at Parkland. I've worked at a lot of the other major hospitals in the ER. I've lived it. I've had my own personal experience of seeing those things too. And I think that's what drove my passion for joining an organization like this. I believe in this mission. And as Dispatch Health, what we do is we bring that power of the hospital into your home. And especially for these aging seniors, they may even remember the house call, right? They may have remembered the doctor that showed up with the black bag just 2023, our black bag, 2024. I can't believe we're already in 2024. But our black bag has a lot more in it. We can do a lot more in the home now. And so I think that we really are changing healthcare.
So what is the process? So you've got a patient, let's say, I think mom has a bladder infection. And
what happens?
Take it from there.
All right. So it's pretty simple. You can call in or you can go online. We're available both ways. We accept most major commercial insurances, Medicare, Medicare Advantage, and Medicaid. You book an appointment. You give us a basic idea of what the complaint or the concern is. And then we send a team that's either a nurse practitioner or a physician assistant along with a tech. Usually here, at least in the Dallas market and the Fort Worth market, they're EMTs. So
that's awesome.
They're great. They're skilled. And so we go into the home and we take care of it. So we're able to perform that testing. We can get a urine sample. We can test it right there on scene. We can give a first dose of an antibiotic. And as providers, we're able to immediately initiate that care. We're able to send in the prescription electronically, so it's ready at the pharmacy in 2 hours. And then, if there's anything that gives us an idea that this is a complicated urinary tract infection, or we're able to do basic blood work. We have a lab with us in that black bag, so to speak. It's amazing what we can do. We can check their electrolytes. We can make sure their kidneys are working efficiently so that we know the type of medications that were safe to prescribe to them. No 65-year-old or very few 65-year-olds have no complications. And so we're able to get a really good picture of their whole health and drive our care based on what we can get all taken care of there in the home.
So you've got some statistics for us, and we'd love for you to share some of those.
Okay. So statistic-wise, Give me what can I tell you?
I know when you guys started like 10 years ago ish, right?
Right.
In Denver or Colorado or something. Cause I met you guys when you guys first moved in here,
yes,
like 4 or 5 years ago or something like that. Maybe 6 now, but, and when the first thing that struck me was, stats like your reduction in hospitalizations, stats like reduction in not just ER visits and hospitalizations, but like the 30-day readmits, which is like a big buzz thing.
It is a big buzz thing. Yeah. Absolutely.
So what do those numbers look like?
So we are able to reduce those costs significantly in the millions of what we've been able to do just with our partner here locally.
Okay.
And that's really how we show benefit to the community overall.
Sure.
We are a value-based driven organization, and you're right. We started back in 2013, landed the Dallas market in 2018. So we're pre-COVID. We're not a product of COVID. Mm-hmm. We're an organization, yep, that has strong infrastructure and that has been here doing this for longer, yep, than the pandemic. And I think that is also something that's important about just the stability of our organization and what we're doing here. We are able to, if you think we decrease, readmissions, we work with local partners here, about 50%, of the top 10 diagnoses that patients would potentially go into the hospital for, we can take care of in the home, keep them out of the ER, and really provide, so to speak, a concierge service in doing so, right? Mm-hmm. You get to sit at home with your coffee on your couch, watching Netflix, and we come to you and we provide you excellent care. We collaborate with your family. We do it at a reduced cost. And then you're not exposed to everything that you would be otherwise within the ER.
Right. And Joe, we talked last week about the risk factors of going through the ER and landing, mm-hmm, in the hospital. You're like 1 in 4 of those patients that go from the ER to the hospital bed will have an adverse event, which is a wildly high statistic.
So I had a patient, yeah, when I had my agency that was vomiting. And so he had a caregiver with him. And I said, you know what, if we can't control it, you've got to take him to the ER. This is before I knew about dispatch health.
Right, right.
And got to the ER. They would not let the caregiver go to the back with him. He had no family at all. We were assigned or given this case through the state, I think it was through APS or something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they laid him flat in the ER on the stretcher, and he vomited again and aspirated and died.
Oh my
and
goodness.
The caregiver could not be back with him. And imagine, mm-hmm, had you all been out and he could have stayed at home with his little lazy boy and had his little bowl.
Yeah.
You know.
You really take all those things out of the equation. Yep. All of the things that...
The risk,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And especially when you're taking away that patient's advocate, right? Even someone young, well, whatever, you're still in a crisis when you enter in the, mm-hmm, ER. You're not feeling well. You're not your best self. You can't communicate to your fullest. And so taking away, you know, that person that is your advocate is only doing you a disservice. And we meet you where you are. We do provide IV fluids. And like I said, we can look at electrolytes right there. Within 2 minutes, I have those results. We have oral replacements for things like potassium. We have agents we can give for antiemetics or some nausea, vomiting medications. We can administer those IV, IM, PO. We carry it with us so that we carry about 70% of what an ER does. And so,
wow.
And if you hear from our patients, I think what you hear from them too is, I never got this type of service, or no one listened to me this long when I was in such and such facility. Right. And a lot of us go into healthcare because we like people, mm-hmm, or we want to, yes, help people. And I think where we've gone in healthcare in general is taking away that one-on-one time, mm-hmm, with our patients. And when you get that, I'm sitting in your house for an hour if you're getting IV fluids and we're talking, I'm learning about you. I'm learning about, you know, your life, you know, what support you have. How do you take your medications? Who takes you to the doctor?
Right.
How do we take care of you from end to end? And then what's also great about how we work is we report that back out to all of those other parties. The primary care doctor, they get an immediate note within 24 hours of our full assessment, and it includes those social determinants of health. And we can initiate any sort of referrals that we identify, mm-hmm, are, you know, gaps in care so that we can keep you at home and we can, yep, keep you healthy. And I think that's a huge benefit, of being there and having that time.
What are the limitations that you guys have? So I know you guys can do, labs, mm-hmm, like urine labs, we can do blood labs.
X-rays.
You can do X-rays as well.
So we can do X-rays. So we have an X-ray company. So I, as a nurse practitioner, am not going to shoot your x-ray.
Sure.
So right. I think that that's one thing that I need a level set with some patients is when yeah. we show up, we don't bring the x-ray machine with us. However, we do have dispatch health imaging. We also work with local imaging okay. services to bring in x-ray into the home so that you aren't having to leave to go to that.
So there's a perceived fracture. You guys can still...
We splint. Uh-huh.
Got it.
We order okay. those x-rays and we splint with the good stuff. We have the same stuff in the ER, the orthoglass, the wow. padding. We're going to splint you like you would get a splint in an emergency department. And okay. I know it because I worked there for 12 yeah, years and right. did the splints there and now we do them here. And then we send out that x-ray. We confirm fracture or not. And then okay. we get you looped back in with either your PCP or a specialist so that you can get the follow-up that you need.
And I know when we've had you guys called on a few of ours to mm-hmm. help prevent some of the hospitalizations. And I know you guys do a triage too, because yes. there was one in particular just recently that we called and that your nurses, I guess it's a nurse that answers the phone there or they triage it somehow. And there was a nurse that called back and said, hey, we really think that this probably needs an ER visit versus, you know, it needs to be seen. Somebody needs to be seen now versus in a couple hours, whatever.
Right. Yeah. So we do have a process and we have a risk stratification that has been truly perfected over the years. So we can really, rule out what we think is really something that we can't manage and that mm-hmm. we're not going to be able to provide you the service that you need and is life-threatening potentially. Yeah. And we do. We report that out to the patient, like in your situation, to say, hey, I really think that your best option is the emergency yep. department. So we don't take risks if, right. if they're there. But at the same time, we find a lot of things that, and I'm sure a lot of you know this, but there's that game of telephone. The initial complaint is mm-hmm. one thing. But the second person gets another little bit of it. A third person gets yeah. a little bit of it. And by the end of it, it's like, oh, so you had a cough for 2 days and your daughter had the flu. But it, yeah. maybe you said, I had chest pain when I coughed.
Yes.
And so we are able to really ask those questions in a way that we're able to get, to determine the risk of those patients. And if we can see them in the home or if we really need to have them seen elsewhere.
So what is the wait time? So a call comes in and mm-hmm. then how quickly can we expect to see?
So same day service is typical for us. And so within Dallas and Fort Worth, we have two locations that support truly the Metroplex. We cover quite a bit of ground here. And so typically it's same day service. The time window that you're seen as a patient is dependent on your complaint, your age, truly that risk that we kind of assign mm-hmm. you. Just as you would in the emergency room to some degree, they assign those ESI levels to say, this person...
What's an ESI level?
You would ask me this. ESI...
It's just a risk. It's a risk.
It's a risk stratification. Okay. So it's when I used to work as a nurse in the ER, you would say, okay, so chest pain is a red category.
Yep.
Abdominal pain, but the 30 is maybe a yellow category. And a ear pain in a otherwise healthy wait. Human is yeah. a green category. Yeah. And so it is truly trying to determine who mm-hmm. needs seen the fastest. And yep. so we have our own version of that, so to speak. And that's what plays into us determining where you kind of fall on that same day care.
That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. And obviously higher peak seasons, there's sometimes that for the lower acuity things, it may be, can we get you a prioritized appointment for tomorrow?
So if somebody might think they have COVID yeah. and they don't have to go to the ER and expose other people, you can come
to them. We're the person to call. Absolutely. And think about, so we do on-site COVID, flu, mono, and strep testing. But also if you think about it as a mother of maybe four children,
absolutely.
We can come out and we can take care of all of those children versus you loading maybe two sick ones and two healthy ones to the doctor. And now you come home with four sick kids, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so it's also a benefit to families that have multiple people within the home that are sick. And we do take care of quite a few of those. And again, we send this back to your pediatrician. We send it back to your PCP. So they're aware, hey, they were seen. They were diagnosed with COVID. They were treated with these medications. And so it's that continuation of communication so that we can take care of the patient.
Do you guys see a number of falls?
We do. Actually, I love that you asked that yeah. because I feel like one of the things that my grandmother, she fell often, and having her sit in an ER for 8 hours just to rule out a hip X-ray, right?
Yep.
And I'm sorry that probably hit closer than it's true for me too. And just watching, you know, they kind of are, to what you said, they throw them on their back or they're on a backboard or whatever it may be. They're uncomfortable. They're out of their element, and they're there for an extended amount of time just to be told, you're good, go home.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so,
do you know the stats? So I only need these. Know these stats because I just recently did a thing on this.
I want to hear.
But there, so 8 million ER visits every year in the United States for seniors falling. 8 million.
Just for falls. Million.
Yeah, and so
wow.
And here's the other thing too. So they go. These are people who have gone to the emergency room. This is what I like about y'all and the fact that you guys coordinate care with the PCP on the back end. In 40% of those cases, they did not get a follow up with the PCP. 40% of those cases did not go back and see their PCP. And so with you guys being involved in those fall things, like I know you guys are sending those notes right over to the PCP, that helps to blunt that some. So we actually get some follow-up. And then the other part of it is, I think it was like 57% don't even follow up with like the preventable strategies, which is like, that's near and dear to me.
Yeah.
And so it always drives me crazy when I see all these things. Cause you know, a lot of people think that falls are like a balance and strength related thing. It's not, it's a part of it, but there's medical complications. There's medication issues, right. There's hydration issues, there's all these things. And so if they're not being communicated with the PCP from the ER, which doesn't happen.
It doesn't
then
happen.
How does the PCP know, hey, these are the things that we found that were potential culprits around this patient's falling. Let's go address those. So I love the fact you guys actually communicate back with the PCPs to help with that. But this is stats.
We monitor that. So we here in the Dallas market, over 95% of our cases are communicated back to the PCP.
Yep.
The rare cases that they aren't are typically our 20-year-olds that don't have a PCP.
Sure.
And so, you know, we can't route it back. But on the back end of that, we place a referral to get a PCP. We can put that out into the world so that they can at least be connected to care, because a lot of people don't want to navigate that on their own. So
now the calls you guys get for falls, are these people that have been able to get back up into the chair, or are these sometimes people that are just still on the floor?
Sometimes they're on the floor. Oftentimes the families have called the fire department or someone to help them to get them off the floor, but
then you guys are like the secondary
call. Secondary call.
Oh,
and a lot
gosh,
of times you see this
like
because
that so much awesome. Better.
Fire departments, you know, maybe they don't transport for whatever the reason is. Right. And so, they can,
cause I'm not hurt. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah. And the patient doesn't want to,
because they don't want to go to the hospital. They all know. They all know. Don't go to the hospital, right? You're going to lay in your bed for 7 days.
Yes. Yes. They know. Yes. So it's great. And it's great because we can get out there. We can do a good thorough assessment. All of my providers have worked in either an ER and urgent care, or they have adult background medicine. So most of my providers have worked in the ER, and the ER creates burnout, and they love this model because they spend time.
I have a commercial for you. I've fallen. I can't get up. Call dispatch help.
We'll get you an X-ray and a hug.
We are nice.
I know.
Wow.
That's crazy, the number.
It's great though, because we can provide them with reassurance if they need it. We can provide that exam to say, hey, I think that you need to go to the hospital. You're that percentage that truly does need to be there and is likely surgical. But also we see it with people that fall with like shoulders. We can put on their, we can immobilize their shoulder, we can immobilize their knee, we can get them the same treatment they would in the hospital, get the X-rays, and just provide that same treatment, so to speak, but without the
cascaded dependency.
Thank you. That was the best way.
So people that don't have insurance, and I don't know what the numbers are, can they pay privately?
They can pay privately. So currently our private pay or self-pay rate is $375. That includes everything we would do in the home. So if we COVID flu, strep test you, do blood work, get a urine sample, all of that is covered in that $375.
That is amazing.
So truly it is valuable. And then when, we talk about the coverage that we have with the payers, we bill as an urgent care. And so for those commercial payers, they see right there on their card, urgent care is $30. That's the cost to you for truly a concierge service. And then as far as our Medicare Advantage and Medicaid, very well covered. I mean, patients, you can look online specifics, but typically less than $30 to the patient, if anything. So really, it is trying to bring value to the health system.
How often when you guys go, I know you guys treat from, it's like birth to death, right?
Three months to end of life, yes. Yeah, basically.
So, but in mine and Joe's world, predominantly, although you have a couple of young ones right now, but predominantly we're working with older individuals. So when you guys are going out and doing those urgent care calls for them, what percentage of the time are you able to keep them home versus going, hey, we probably need to send you out to the ER?
Our escalation rate here in Dallas is less than 5%. It's typically around the 2% that we escalate.
That's
across the board.
That's huge.
2.2, I think, was our last one.
So 98% of the time, if I call you, because you guys are going to triage on the front end anyway, right?
Right.
So you're probably capturing the majority of cases where, hey, it really sounds like you need ER versus what we do.
You know, there's also this piece of it is when you tell people to go to the ER, the percentage of people that actually go to the ER is not great. And so there is still, we can capture those patients to some degree if they aren't wanting to go to the ER and they know that this, we tell them this is life or death and stuff, but we really try to do what we can.
And we talked before the show, the one thing I really like, and Joe, you and I have talked about this for a while. I really dislike, and I think we need to be moving past the hospital being the main driver or delivery vehicle of care, because they're not structured for that. They're structured for the really urgent, emergent stuff, get them stabilized and get them out of here. Because we talked last show about all the things that happen with these prolonged stays, which is just infuriating to me now. Mm-hmm. But what I like about you guys is that you're sending the bad things happen, right? So like most of, like, even ambulatory care practices, like the primary care doctors, the home environment is invisible to them. They have no earthly idea what that home environment looks like. How are they actually navigating? Where do they keep their pills? Do they have a pill box? Are they using a pill box? Like, there's all of these things that the doctors and the nurse practitioners in a clinic environment have to make assumptions of. We think this is happening, but we're not really sure.
Right.
What I love about you guys is now with the new incident, like there's been some sort of an incident, whether it's a UTI or, you know, a flu virus or a fall or whatever, or seizure or whatever, you guys are actually in the home and can assess, like, there are multiple factors here that could have contributed to this, which is very different from what anybody else gets. Like, if you're in an emergency room, like, there's no chance you have any idea of what caused that fall, right? But if you're in the home and you can see, oh my gosh, they go step down living room and there's a little yappy dog that's running all over the place. Like, there's all these things you guys can pick up on that nobody else gets to see.
Absolutely.
And start, like, educating. And I love the fact you guys are doing social determinants of health as well, because there's a huge body of evidence that that's actually starting to drive some of these things too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and the other thing is with it is when you identify those, we have the ability to tap into our resources like you, right? Yeah. Like home health, like physical therapy, hospice even. We can say, hey, we can have those real conversations with patients and say, you know, because you aren't really moving well around your house, I think you would really benefit from physical therapy. And let's see what we can get done. And they're so grateful because you're right. No one else is able to lay eyes on that environment and pick up on those things because they aren't in it.
Yep.
And so it really brings a lot of value.
And then with you guys, so speaking of, like, sending therapists into the home, specifically like post falls, I know in a lot of cases, the ER doctors are not the ones actually making those referrals.
No.
They're just making sure, are you good enough to go home?
They're putting a Band-Aid on them.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and then they, in half the cases just about, they're not even following up the PCP. So now we've got this person who has already a history of falls with, by the way, if you have one fall with an injury in 12 months, you're already in a statistically significantly higher risk category for another fall. So that has already happened when you go to the ER, only nobody's making a referral out to make sure this doesn't happen again. And then we wonder why they keep bouncing back.
And then we wonder why we have readmissions for the same thing.
Yeah, it's wild. So there's a lot of misses that I think you guys are uniquely positioned to help the system with, and our patients, you know, by that I also mean the patients, because it is a uniquely valuable service that, you know, it's timely because we can see the effects of what may be happening here, that this actually caused the fall, the injury, whatever. Yeah. So I think it's great. Yeah. And we approve because we do use you.
I know. It's great. And you all helped a client of mine who just slept funny and couldn't move her neck. She was miserable. She's like, Joe, I'm not going to the ER, but I don't know what to do. I am miserable. So she had a concierge doctor who called in prescriptions and then he was like, let's get an x-ray. And she's like, I am not going to the ER. So Dispatch Health, you all were out, and she lives out in the country. Yes. And so it was a team effort to get somebody out there. She is way out in the country. It was fantastic.
I'm so glad that
they got information to the primary doctor. Once he got the report, he called her and said, there's no further injury. It's just part of it and just rest. And she's like, I cannot believe all this was done and I got to stay at home.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was just a win-win and just peace of mind.
I know. I feel like that when right after I met Joe, she said, well, I didn't know, you know, we were talking so soon. But I have something for you.
It was like
you.
The next day.
It really was. I hadn't even saved your number in my phone yet. But no, that's it really awesome. Was. And it's great. And then to get the, you know, the communication back to me of how the patient felt. I mean, that's what it's all about, is we're making a difference for people.
Yes. Yeah. And today I had a meeting with I'm an Aging Life Care Association member, and I said, hey guys, have y'all heard of Dispatch Health? Oh yeah, I know, what's that, you know? Yeah. And anyway, it's just a great service. And so tell us, how can the listener get in touch with you?
Give us a call. So locally, that number is 214-377-1790. You can go online, dispatchhealth.com. You can request an appointment online. You can request an appointment over the phone. The agent, like we talked, will screen. They'll give you a time frame in which you can expect us. And then we stay in touch with you through that whole process as well. So you'll get a call when your team is on the way and say, all right, we're on the way. Please have these things ready. We'll arrive. And then at the end of our visit, like I said, we close that loop of communication by getting everything back to the provider, the primary care provider.
Great. It's awesome. I think we asked this before, but just, I may have forgotten. What's the average time? If it's somebody who's like needing urgent help,
so usually between about 2 to 4 hours, depending. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So typically same day. And for the urgent needs, it's going to be that shorter window.
Could be faster.
And just think about having to drive to the ER. That may be an hour, or getting your loved one in the car that's
2 hours
feeling
sitting
good,
in the waiting room.
Sitting in the lobby. And then you finally get to fill out some paperwork, and then you wait another hour for the triage nurse.
Absolutely.
It's a win-win.
Call to care.
I know.
For about that. It's like when you decide if you're gonna hop on an airplane to go to Austin, or you're going to drive, because you're going to still have to go to the airport, check in, get on the plane, check. So yeah, I think that's a great analogy there. I think that if you really look at that time, it's well used, and you can be in the comfort of your home while you wait for that.
Which is where the thing happened. Well, I'll keep going back to, like, there's so much gold in seeing somebody in their own home, because you can pick up on a lot of variables.
And that's Brian and I. I believe that people should be at home. They should be in their own home. And I really do see that hospital is moving into the home. And there's so many services like Dispatch Health. You know, it's just saved so much time and money. And it's just a great, better environment. You know,
so we'll have to introduce you to another piece of Dispatch at another time. Because I think we can help with the solution to that.
Very good. Thank you so much for coming. This has been great.
Thank you. It's amazing. We appreciate you and your time.
Absolutely.
Have a great day.